Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the coronavirus pandemic has made gathering indoors unsafe, and I know many people have taken to the outdoor sports and recreation for some time outside. Have you? What paddle sports are your favorite? Talking today with Darren Bush, he's the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and he has a lot to share for, I think, both experienced and new paddlers alike. We'll also talk with him about this year's virtual Canoecopia event. So what paddling questions are on your mind? Maybe a question about Canoecopia. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Darren Bush, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Let's start with Canoecopia. How long have you been participating in Canoecopia?
This would have, let's see, my first one was 1990. So, ooh. 31?
Yeah.
31, yeah.
That's a
yeah,
few.
Just a few.
Just a few. You know, has the show changed a lot over the years?
A lot. A lot. When I first started, I was a part-timer when I had a real job. And it was at the Dane County Forum, which, if you're unfortunate enough to remember that, was a dump. It was awful. And they mowed it down in 94, I think. And that's when I took it over and said, if we're going to do this, let's do this right. And started actually plotting out, you know, booth spaces and making sure that they were kind of in what made sense logistically. And then I said, we have all these speaker rooms. Let's fill them up. And so we went from one speaker room to four speaker rooms to six speaker rooms to nine. So it really became an educational event. And that was the part that was the most fun.
Yeah, I bet. Well, it's different this year because of the pandemic, of course.
It is, yeah. So how this happened is, so last September or so is when we really start getting the timeline going for Canoecopia, like getting the show guide put together and starting to, you know, get exhibitors signed up and all that. And I just felt that this was not going to be early. It was going to be too early and that this wouldn't happen. So we said, well, what can we do? And we sat around with all the sharp people that work here and they said, well, let's try it doing virtually. So we looked at about 10 different platforms that are used for, you know, symposia and things like that. And we found one that was the right scale for us, that did the right stuff, that would take care of speakers and allow people to have virtual booths and such, and just started working on that. And, I mean, the good news is, the good that we did that, but because the Alliance Center is now closing all events through July, so even if we had planned to do one, we couldn't have done it anyway, and we wouldn't have a virtual platform. So, it's really fun. And, you know, the caveat is, you know, COVID's horrible, right? No one's loving this COVID thing. It's the worst.
Right.
People are dying. That said, we have learned a lot as, you know, as a society, as a company, as an individual, on how we have to adapt. And human beings are remarkably adaptive. Some of the stuff we're doing for the virtual show, we're going to do next year too, because it's a good idea, not just now, but in the future. So, and there's some benefits to virtual. Number one, I get to actually see a presentation for the first time in 31 years because you can watch them for 60 days after the show's over. So it's you get 60 presentations to see instead of having to choose between nine. So, yeah, some of them are live. Some of them aren't. They're pre-recorded, but you can do a live Q&A with them during the show. But, yeah, it's just, it was the best thing we could do, and it turned out to be the only thing we can do.
Yeah. And you have something like, what is it, 80 presentations?
I don't know. The last I thought, I think there was about 60 or 80, somewhere in there. But they're all done once, whereas at the show they were done two or three times so that people could, you know, wouldn't have to choose between seeing two things as much as they could. It was definitely frustrating. You know, it's like, well, I want to see these three talks there at the same time, and okay, so we have to move one of them. And now it's like, okay, whatever, we'll just watch what we want to watch over the weekend, you know, mostly the live ones, and then the rest we'll just watch over the next 60 days.
Yeah. And the speakers themselves, they're for all different levels of paddlers, right?
Yeah, we try and just go across the board. So there's a lot of about, you know, getting started, you know, just different basic stuff. But the thing is, if you have a class about how to improve your canoe stroke or your kayak stroke, that's good for everybody because there's always something to learn. But, you know, a lot of stuff about places to go and a lot of really cool stories. And some of them, they're actually, I think they're better not live, because some of those people are excellent cinematographers, and it's hard to do that in a big room with a, you know, low res screen. And I just watched the part of one. I was just kind of previewing a few, and it's like, holy cow, this is fantastic. So really fun.
I'm wondering about the virtual exhibitor booths.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So basically, we gave our you know, our vendors and people that like to come, it's a space. So you go into the show and you click on their booth, and there's videos, and there's, you know, click here to chat, click here to talk. It uses a basic, like a Zoom platform. So it's not everybody, but many people are familiar with Zoom. So it's basically you can chat with them, you can video, you can talk. They're doing video presentations. You can say, hey, can you show me that boat again? And they'll go over and show you that boat again. So it's, you know, things like that. And so it's interactive. It's not just here's a link and here's some pictures. So is three-dimensional better? Yeah. But this is the second best thing, and you don't have to wear a mask. So.
Yeah. Yeah. How do people get signed up, or what do you do to get involved?
You go to canoecopia.com and click on buy ticket.
There you go.
Yeah. And so, there are the benefits we thought of is you don't have to drive here. You don't have to pay for parking, and you can watch the show in your pajamas. And it's also, you know, this came to us later. This is a really low carbon footprint show. And the reason is we're all renewable energy powered at the shop. We're wind powered, and so no one's driving, no one's flying. Our manufacturers are doing it from home, so we're getting the best of Canoecopia without the environmental impact, which I think is kind of cool.
I do as well. Darren Bush, our guest, he is the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, talking with him about Canoecopia. And, of course, we'll take your questions about Canoecopia or about paddling in general, and I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Let's see. Ellie from Madison emailed. Her partner and herself are big-time anglers, and they're trying to improve their rowing skills. They have a big flat-bottom canoe with stabilizers and oars. Any suggestions for floating streams and rivers this time of year when the water levels are a little variable given the snow melt? They love all the water in this part of the state, just waiting to be explored.
Sure. As far as the actual skills go, my only experience in rowing is in a shell, which is a completely different thing than a rowboat. The number one thing I always would say is at this point you should be dressing for immersion, because it doesn't matter how stable your boat is. If you go in, the water is still, you know, 40 degrees, and that's not survivable after, you know, half an hour. So dress for immersion. But as far as, you know, improving your skills for rowing, frankly, I'd go to YouTube and just type in, type in, you know, fishing dory and see what comes up.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, Monica, it's a pretty esoteric school. Yeah, it's a pretty esoteric skill. So that's a tough one.
Monica is an experienced kayaker, having paddled NDK Romani for years. And as she gets older, it's harder to lift the boat onto her car by herself. What can you tell her about inflatable kayaks or other lighter weight options?
There's plenty of lighter weight options. I love that boat, but it is a bit of a beast. And I just spent a month flat on my back from having a L4-5 injury and had, you know, steroid injections and all the PT and everything. So, and it was picking up an 80-pound boat alone, which is stupid for a guy who's 58. So I don't care how good a shape you're in. That was a bad idea. So that made a chronic situation very acute. So I got treated, and I'm feeling great. But I also, I'm not picking up boats anymore. So I ordered for myself a tripping boat, a 17-foot canoe for the Boundary Waters that weighs 36 pounds. So I'm done with heavy. Yeah. Now, it's not cheap, but there's a correlation between cheap and light, right? So what I would look at is, so I have a boat called the Current Designs Carla. It's just barely under 15 feet long. I got it in Kevlar, and it is at least 15 pounds lighter than a Romani, and quite a nice boat. So I would, if you want to stay with the sea kayak, I would look at a lightweight sea kayak. Otherwise, there's smaller, shorter boats that would be worthwhile. I don't know if you want to go inflatable if you're used to the performance of that boat.
Yeah, inflatables are a different, I don't know how to say it. They require a different skill set, or?
Well, they have a different functionality. You know, they're made for, they're not made for paddling efficiency. They're made for ease of use, storage, putting them in your car. And having an experience on the water. So the primary experience for someone in that boat is what they're doing, not what they're paddling.
Yeah, yeah. What about for Monica or anybody else for that matter, that lighter canoe or kayak would certainly make it easier getting it on the car. But even then, are there things that she could or anybody else could have to get that canoe up on the top of the car?
Sure. There's plenty of ways to do this. All the major rack manufacturers, you know, Yakima, Thule, Malone, they have accessories that you can put on that will allow you to lift the boat on top of the car without picking up the full weight of it. And that has been, I mean, we sell tons of them to people who are like, yeah, I love this, but I just can't pick this boat up and put it on my car anymore. But I can pick it up to my waist, which is where these, you know, these contraptions come down and to about waist height. So you put the boat on it, strap it down, and then you'd pick it up and put it on top of your car and drop a pin in to keep it secure and then take off. So they're pretty cool.
That would be what I will want for sure.
Yep.
Darren Bush, our guest today, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Great to have him with us. Questions about Canucopia or about paddling, we'll be glad to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jenna Rose Schleiss, our producer today, Natalie Gaeta, our on-air producer, Christina Myshock, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. We're getting a paddle sports update today on the Ideas Network. Darren Bush, the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, our guest, Canucopia. It's coming up March 12th through the 14th, so that's not very far off. And you can find out more at www.paddlers.com. That's one place you can look, or just, I think if you just type Canucopia into a search engine, it's going to come up for sure. Anyway, we can talk with him some more about that. And you can join in with your own paddling questions, anything about new gear or old gear or repairing or maybe places to go to paddle. I hope you'll join in. Number's 1-800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Will in Franklin, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm a kayaker. I got a buddy I'd like to go with. I have a 2008 Prius. It's a hatchback, and I have an inflatable. I'm not loving it, though. Are there any other options that would, accommodate that? I've heard of detachable ones that you could attach.
I'm sorry, do you want to put it inside your car still?
They don't have a roof rack.
Oh. Well, what kind of car do you have, a Subaru?
Prius.
It's a Prius.
Oh, I'm sorry, Prius. Okay.
Yeah, put the back seats down and get, maybe 5.5 feet.
I would say no. My wife has a Prius. I would put a rack on it and then carry your boat on top, because otherwise your choices are going to be extremely limited.
Yeah. And a rack, we got a rack on our Prius, and it works just fine. And yeah, racks are, what do racks run? I can't even, there's a variance in price.
It's hard. Depends on the car. If you figure between $300 and $500, that's gonna be it. The thing that's cool about a rack, and people get them, it's like, well, why don't we get that just for my boat? It's like, well, it's not just for your boat, because I put 2x4s on my rack when I go to Home Depot, and I have a luggage box up there that helps store snowshoes and skis and stuff. So it's really a utility for your entire car, not just for a boat.
Yeah, I actually wind up using it more for other things,
sure.
Frankly.
There is one option, actually. I was just thinking. So there are boats that are not inflatable. They are basically, think of them as Tinker Toys with, a frame, and you stretch a skin over it. And that makes them sound cheap and poorly done. They're not. You can go all the way to a sea kayak. There's a sea kayak called the Trek that paddles as well as any sea kayak I've ever paddled. It's an amazing piece of engineering. But you might look at Advanced Elements. You might look at a Track. Look at Pack Boats, P-A-K Boat. I think that's three that I can come up with off the top of my head. But they pretty much sell direct all the time, and that's great.
So they come apart and you put them together when you go out?
Yeah, so basically you take the frame, and it's pretty simple. You just put these sleeves together, kind of like a tent pole, and then there's cross like cross pieces that hold that in the boat shape. So you have a boat, kind of a boat skeleton, and then there's a skin that goes over the outside, and you slide it in and zip it up. And then there's some inflatable sponsons on the side, on each side. When you inflate those, it tensions the skin. So it's not
really
it's not as good as a hard shell boat, but it's 95% as good as a hard shell boat. So, and if you have a storage problem, that solves that too.
Yeah, so, and it's a lot better than the inflatable.
It is. I will tell you. Look now if you want one. Because there's a huge boat shortage in our industry right now, a lot of our vendors are sold out through September right now, and it's going to be hard to get a boat this year.
Man, Will, thank you. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Tom in New Franklin, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a 15-foot Old Town canoe that my wife and I use quite a bit. But sometimes I like to go out alone. And sometimes we like to take one of our grandchildren with us. Is there a seat that you can recommend that we can put in this canoe?
Sure. Is it a Pathfinder? That sounds like the right boat.
No, it's not a Pathfinder. It's 40 years old. It's 40 years old. I've taken care of it. It's still in great shape.
Okay. Yes. So a couple things you can do. Number one, you can turn it around and paddle it backwards if there's no thwart behind the front seat. And then you can put your kid in the stern seat facing backward, and that actually trims out quite nicely. And if you're alone, you can, you know, throw, you know, what we do is take a 30-liter dry bag, fill it up with water, and throw it up in the front, and that's, you know, 66 pounds, roughly, right? And that drops the bow down. The other thing is you can get a seat. Do you use the yoke when you port? Do you portage the boat at all? Do you ever use the yoke?
Tom, do you ever use the yoke?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So what you would do is switch to a removable yoke and then just to put a third seat in, and we have all the hardware to do that. And then that just lives in the boat. And that's a common thing.
Hmm. All right. Tom, good luck. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Reggie had called to kind of second your motion on when he was talking about lifts. There are great lifts out there. He watched a very elderly person loading her canoe on the with the use of a hydraulic setup, and he said it was amazingly smooth and easy.
Yeah, that's the whole the Thule Holivator, and it has a piston that is kind of a load assist. It doesn't take all the weight, but you basically grab these two handles and you pull it down, and there's a little resistance. You put the boat on the cradles and tighten it down, and you just squeeze the handles and then lift. And you get a lift assist from that. It goes up and snaps on the top of the roof. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Somebody was wondering about cost for Canoocopia. Just to go back to that for a bit, what's the fee for joining in?
It's $15 for 60 days. But you also, if you want to, you can get a subscription to the online subscription to Paddling Magazine. And that's $13.50 value. So click on that. So it takes it down to $1.50.
All right. So it's a pretty good deal when you think you've got something like somewhere between 60 and 80 presentations that you can view over a couple month period. Not a bad deal. A lot of folks tried. New outdoor recreation during the pandemic, you know, the social distance aspect of it. What should new paddlers be aware of?
Well, first of all, I can give you some numbers if you want. I'm on the governor's board of tourism, and visits up north were 38% up this year. I mean, that's huge. And that helped with the problems up there. I mean, it did bring some money in. But it was very different depending on the kind of business. So the outfitters did well. The restaurants didn't do so well, right? So, but as things open up, that amount of tourism dollars going up north is really healthy for those smaller communities that rely on it. So that's one reason we're hopeful about things opening up, you know, for summer. So, what was the question? Sorry.
Well, I wonder, you know, what kind of gear do you need? You know, what kind of gear is best for new paddlers, for example?
The best gear is the stuff that you use the most. So the one that you get, the best boat is the one that gets wet the most. And one thing we saw last year is a lot of folks buying boats at, you know, Farm and Fleet and places like that. And, you know, they float, they paddle. Generally, when you buy a boat that's less expensive, what you're giving up is comfort. So the seats are pretty rudimentary. And the best thing you can do is don't buy a boat without sitting in it for 15 minutes. I mean, seriously, sit it down on the floor and sit there and see if you can adjust it and make it comfortable. Because if it's not comfortable, you'll get it home, get in the water, paddle 15 minutes, go, my legs are asleep. I'm done. And you shove it under the deck, and it lives there forever. So as far as, you know, beginner versus intermediate versus expert, the equipment doesn't change. It's more about the functionality of it. So if you want to paddle, you know, smaller rivers and streams around here and they're driftless and such, you know, 10 to 12 foot boats work great. You know, I have a 12 foot boat that I use it all the time for, like the Sugar River. But if I want to go up in bigger water, I need a little longer boat, and canoe or kayak, it doesn't really matter. It's whatever's the best suited to what you want to do.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, for experienced paddler, is there some new gear out there that's gaining some traction among folks?
Not specific models, but materials continue to evolve and get better and lighter and stiffer and in some ways more cosmetically appealing. Like I said, I just ordered a boat for myself that's, you know, 36 pounds. It's 17 feet long. That wouldn't happen even 10 years ago. My 18.5-foot tripping boat that I had in the 90s was 44 pounds, and that was considered really, really light. So mostly just improvements to existing boats. There hasn't been a lot of investment in R&D this year just because the boat manufacturers were trying to keep their heads above water with stuff they already had rather than developing new product.
Yeah. Bob in Lake Geneva has a question, I believe. Let's go there. Hi, Bob.
Hi. We have a Prius, and I have a North Star Stiglia, 17 foot, weighs 40 pounds. And I just use the foam blocks, and it fits really well on top of our Prius. And under the hood, up near the front of the hood, there's two bolts that you can strap a 6-inch strap to, and to tie down the front of it. And we have a trailer hitch on the back that ties down the back, and I go up to Quetico with it all the time.
Yeah, so first of all, nice boat. Those are beautiful. And to tell the quick backstory to it, that boat was a boat that was built by Joe Saliga, and it was a wood canvas boat built up in the Boundary Waters area. And he passed away in his mid-90s, and they're finding one of his boats is really difficult now. They're just loved by who owned them. So North Star decided they were going to take mold off of one of the existing plugs that Joe had, one of the molds that he had, and turn it into a Kevlar boat so it would, A, be half the weight, and be available to people. So, he boat. Foam blocks work great when they are used right. You know, straps are on the middle, straps in the front and back. The only thing about foam blocks that is, they're just a little bit more awkward. So you can put them on your boat. You set it up there. As you're moving it up there, one of them moves or twists or whatever. So it's just not as convenient. So there's nothing wrong with them at all. They work fine. So what you're paying for when you get a rack or something a little more solid is more solidity, more security, a little bit more peace of mind. But that doesn't mean the foam blocks don't work. Otherwise, we wouldn't sell them.
All right. Bob, thank you very much for calling. So he's got his 17-footer on top of his Prius.
Yep.
Well, Jeff and Racine will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and Darren. Darren, I have a once-used Old Town Karoo canoe, 17-foot. It's a beautiful boat. I believe it's fiberglass with cherry and ash, cherry trim and ash gunnels. I got it through, as you know, Johnson Outdoors, who now owns Old Town, is based in Racine, and they donated it for a charity auction, which was won by a very elderly lady, and I bought it from her because it was so pretty. But I've only used it once. I prefer to use my home-built kit, pygmy kayak. Sure. And I'd like to sell this beautiful Old Town Karoo. I'm wondering if, what's the best route to do it? Do you take such a boat on consignment, or, you know, I'd like to get it to the right person that would appreciate it.
I love your last comment. You know, get it to the right person who would appreciate it. So a quick backstory on that boat. That is a one-of-a-kind, that was a pet project of a friend of mine that actually worked there. And Chris wanted to make a boat that was as beautiful as the old towns were back in the, 100 years ago. So it's a fiberglass carbon fiber with gel coat, all cherry trim, big recurve on the stem, so it looks like an old-fashioned canoe, but quite a bit lighter. They're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. They made, 60 or 80 of them, something like that. So the problem with that boat is it's worth what someone's willing to pay for it, because it's not quite collectible. It requires the right person. So I would love to take it on consignment, except it's got wood gunnels, and I would hate for that thing to sit outside. That's an inside boat. I think it's probably worth between $200 and $3,500, depending on, who wants it. I would wait until the right person comes along, because they will. So, stick it on Craigslist. No, don't put it on Craigslist. Then you'll get people offering you a grand for it. It's so annoying. But Facebook Marketplace actually works pretty well. Then there's paddling.com. Paddling.com is a really good website for selling your gear. You can put it on there and, describe it, take a picture, stick it up there. They don't charge for it, but if you pay $20, you can put up more pictures, and it's a good thing to do to them. The guy that owns the website is a friend, and he adds a lot of value to the paddling community. So I would try paddling.com first. That's the kind of boat someone might be willing to drive for. Right. Someone might in Virginia might go, "Oh, I've always wanted one of those," and they'll come pick it up. So, start at three and see what happens. It's worth it. I mean, I don't have one only because I don't
where are you going to put it?
I have a garage that has about six boats in it, but I've also got racks that I built in one of my warehouses that has another 12 or 13 on it. So, it's an occupational hazard, that's what happens.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh man. Carol in Toma, it's your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm responding to the many people that are having trouble getting their kayak on top of their vehicle.
Yep.
And I'm fortunate to have a trailer hitch on my vehicle, and I installed one of those steps that you can put on it, probably 6 inches sticks out, 15 inches long, and I can slide my kayak up. I step on the hitch and push it right up.
Ah.
Yep, that's another way to do it. And that's loading from the back, having that little extra is great. I actually carry a little two-step ladder that I got for $20 at Washington Supply that lets me get up higher when I'm like strapping a boat on, because sometimes I'll put the boat on and I got to put the strap on and I forgot. So yeah, height is good. There's another thing you can get, and I can't remember the name of it, but you stick it on the little thing that sticks out on your door frame, the little latch, the little U-shaped thing, and that gives you another 2 feet. And I can't remember what they're called. I'll figure it out. Anyway, the other thing is we are selling a lot more small trailers for people who are just like, I'm done picking it up, period. And they don't weigh anything. They're easy to pull. And I've seen folks put, racks on them for a couple of kayaks or a couple of canoes and then put a box in the middle. So they just put their paddles and their PFDs and everything in that. And then that's what they paddle. And they want to go, they just grab it, they hook it on their car, and they take off.
Yeah, that's really handy, really handy. Thanks again, Carol. A listener emailed wanting some canoe recommendations for taller people, larger people. He's 6'3".
I don't know what the problem is. Just long legs or?
Probably.
More weight. I'm 6 foot 200, and there aren't many canoes that I can't fit in. If it's a weight thing, a slightly larger boat works. If it's a leg thing and you want to kneel, you can raise the seat a little bit so you can kneel. Just tell them to email me. It's darrenb@rutavega.com, and I'll get more information and answer this question directly.
Phoebe emailed with a question about Canoocopia. Will a virtual ticket holder be able to view presentations without Wi-Fi? They're going someplace for a couple of weeks, and we're hoping to download and view on the phone later, kind of like you can do with podcasts.
You know what? I have no idea. I really don't. If they're only gone for a couple of weeks, then buy the ticket and watch them when you come back. I don't think so. But they all are recorded and will be on the platform after the show.
Well, on that note, and again, the show is coming right up, isn't it?
Yep, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're going to keep going afterwards a little bit. We did manage, a lot of our manufacturers told us you can't put anything on sale. They revoked they call them sale windows where you're allowed to put things on sale. And a lot of them just revoked them. But we got some of them to say, well, most of the accessory manufacturers said okay because it's a paid event. So if you go to our website and put in the code you get for signing for Canoocopia, you get the Canoocopia price on everything on the website. But like Rax said absolutely not. Some boat manufacturers said absolutely not. So we're trying to do the best we can to get some value to the customers without getting our vendors angry. Because if they get angry, they just stop shipping stuff to us, and that's not good.
That's not good at all. And again, the website?
It's rutabaga.com.
Go to rutabaga.com, and you can sign up probably should do it. I'd say do it before it starts, March 12th through the 14th. So it's coming right up here.
Starts at noon on the 12th, right? But I did have some people that said, I can't get in until Saturday. I'm like, fine, you just watch the Friday ones in a couple of days. We're going to put up the recorded ones the next week, so they'll be available.
Outstanding.
Darren,
it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And I know Canoocopia is going to be a lot of fun virtually. It's always fun, I know, in person. I'm sure it's going to be fun virtually as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. He'll be back with us, and we'll do this again. By way of full disclosure, I mentioned that Rutabaga Paddle Sports is one of our WPR's many business sponsors, so glad for that as well. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking with you a little bit about Aldo Leopold. A lot of people are getting together and always do get together in March to celebrate Aldo Leopold, and we'll be talking about that next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.